1 Corinthians chapter 15, and we're going to read verses 51 to the end of the chapter. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, Death is swallowed up in victory. O grave, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labour is not in vain in the Lord. Amen. And God will bless that reading to our hearts. And you find our text in the words of verse 55. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Before we preach the word, we'll ask help once again from the Lord in prayer. Gracious God our Father, we thank thee for help at the throne of grace. We find it there as we come to thee in prayer, and we pray that thy grace will be poured out upon both the preacher and the hearer in the pew alike. To this end, our Father, may the Holy Ghost come in power, and may our thoughts and our attention be turned to things eternal. Help us to seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth at thy right hand. We ask it for Christ's sake and in his name. Amen. I want to speak tonight on the subject of the fear of dying. The Australian Open Tennis Championships are going on down under at this present time. And young men and women have been interviewed concerning their participation in the championships. One young woman, who is not used to the public stage, was asked the question if she was afraid. The real question put to her was, had she any fears? The interviewer expected an answer along the lines of the fear of not winning, or the fear of not doing too well in the championships. But instead, this young woman surprisingly gave a very pointed answer. And she said, yes, I have a fear, a dreadful fear of dying. Most unexpected answer, and the interviewer was taken aback. But isn't it true, dear friends, that many people have a genuine fear of dying? And the statement of that young woman highlights a very real fear for many people. In the midst of the joys of life, we're all followed by the grim reaper of death, and he may strike at any time. He may come unexpectedly, and it is natural then to have an emotional fear lest death should strike. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 5 and verse 12, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered the world, and death by sin, and so death has passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." All of us have a natural reluctance to come to the place of death. We fear our last bed, as it were. For the Christian, however, to allow the fear of death to become such a fear, perhaps for him or her, it dishonors the Lord. Because we read in our text that the fear of death has been taken away. O death, where is thy sting? There's no more sting for the believer. Yes, there may be somewhat of a fear of the valley of the shadow, but the sting of death is removed. And then it says, O grave, where is thy victory? How do we rid ourselves then of this very real fear? A fear that Paul speaks about also in Hebrews 2 verse 15, speaking of those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. And does it not in some ways put us into bondage, fearing death, who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage? Now we ask the question, who can deliver us? Who can change this for us? And how can that be done? Of course, we cannot deliver ourselves from such a fear. We delude ourselves if we think we can. In today's society, great attempts are made to minimize the effect of death. When someone dies, the corpse is made up to look like it was before it died. And funerals today are not so much to mourn the passing of a loved one, but to celebrate that loved one's life. And these and others, things are happening to try to minimize the impact of death and to ease the burden on the loved ones who are left. A recent article in National Geographic magazine looked at life and death as a sort of a closed shop, as it were. It said, we live and we die, and that's it. And there was no mention, not even one word in the article, of what happens after death. The Bible clearly addresses this subject. And in Hebrews 9 and verse 27, it says, it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment. Only Christ can take away the sting. Only Christ can take away the fear of death. Why does he take away that fear? Because he removes the sting. The sting of death is sin. That's what the Bible says. And only the Lord Jesus Christ can take away that sting. Water cannot wash it away. Good works cannot remove it. Nothing can for sin atone. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Not of good that I have done. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Let us recognize that. We're all scared of insects. Some of us are scared more than others. And most people would be scared of a wasp. And they don't come out this time of the year, but a wasp crawling over exposed skin would rightly cause fear. But if you knew that that wasp had lost its sting, then that would diminish the fear and perhaps remove it entirely. O death, says the Apostle Paul here in Corinthians chapter 15. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? You see, death has lost its sting, and the grave has lost its victory, because the Lord Jesus Christ has died to remove sin, and he died in victory over the grave, rising again the third day. Hallelujah! Praise God tonight. There is victory over the fear of death, and there's victory over the grave. And the Lord Jesus Christ can give us that victory, and the Lord Jesus can give us that peace. To die with your sins forgiven is not really to die as such, although the body dies, but as far as the soul is concerned, it's a departure. It's a departure, a leaving of this world, and an entry into the heaven above. It's a departure for glory, a departure for the better land, just the same as a ship leaves port and departs for another shore. So the soul of the believer leaves the earthly port and heads for the heavenly shore. And thank God, we shall be there forevermore. But that's not the hope of the unbeliever. That's not the hope of the sinner unsaved out of Christ. Sadly, for such an one to leave this world, he departs not only from the body and from this world, but he departs for outer darkness. And he'll hear the words of Christ, "Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire." That's solemn, isn't it? And these are words we should take heed to. And these are warnings that we should listen to and give response to, because the day is coming when you will leave this world. And death will overtake you, and you'll go out into eternity. Death is different for believers than it is for unbelievers. Sinners die unforgiven and pay the penalty for their sins as they perish forevermore. Christians die, but the Lord Jesus Christ has already paid the penalty for their sin. He has already washed their sins away by the blood that he shed on the cross. And all of us tonight must come to Calvary. We must come to Christ. We must recognize that there is no other way. And as you come a guilty sinner, the Lord Jesus Christ will pardon you. He'll cleanse you, and he'll fit you for heaven. He'll take away the sting, and he'll give you the victory. And you'll be able to sing as we were earlier, "We're going home to glory, to see the city bright." And we'll walk the golden streets of heaven and bask in God's own light. But some of you are out of Christ. You are held by many a snare. We cannot leave you lost and alone. We want you over there. Will you heed those words? Will you listen to that plea? Death for the believer is, we might say, the departure from time into God's eternity in heaven. I trust that tonight you'll prepare for that great journey. Death is not the end, as many would have us to believe. There are those who think that you die and that's it. You're buried like a dog and there's nothing hereafter. If there is nothing beyond death, then is this all we have to life that we have now? Is there no other purpose than to be like the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven? Is there no other purpose in life than to be like the trees of the field? Grow up, stay for a while, be cut down and be no more. That's not what the Bible teaches. Many modernists seem to think that there's no life after death. But those of us who are Christians tonight know that this world is not our home. We're only passing through. And we know that our eternal home is with Christ. And that heaven is our home. The child of God then has no real or lasting fear of dying. Even though he passes through the valley of the shadow, he will not fear, said the psalmist. For the Lord is with me. Who's the Lord? He said he was the shepherd at the beginning of the same psalm. And when the sheep have the shepherd, they're safe. They're protected. They're guided over the rocks and the crevices. And they're taken to the pastures green and to the still waters. And with the good shepherd who laid down his life for us, he'll take us to the still waters of heaven, and to the pastures green above, which are forevermore. And praise God, the river of life is there, and it flows by the throne of God. Are you going to heaven? Are you washed in the blood of Christ? Are you saved by His grace? Are you ready to face death? Are you ready for eternity? May the Lord give you grace tonight to make ready and to find the Savior in your own heart and in your own life. Those who have a real fear of dying focus on earthly things. And furthermore, the focus on the body, this body with its limbs and bones and flesh. And that causes fear, doesn't it? But this body will live again. It'll live again. Job said, I know that my Redeemer liveth. And he goes on, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And he said more. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. What a statement. Here's a man knowing that he's mortal, knowing that this body is a body of corruption, but one day it's going to put on incorruption. And it'll be changed and fashioned like unto our Savior's glorious body, raised from earth, will live again, remade. Praise God, we shall be with Him. Is that your hope? Does that cheer the tomb? Does that take away the fear of dying? Friends, let us come to know Jesus Christ as our Savior. Remember that we are not called to do more than the Lord Jesus Christ expects us to do. We are not and we will not be the first tenants of the grave. There have been people there before us. And one such tenant was the Lord Jesus Christ himself. He knows what it's like to go through the valley of the shadow. He knows what it's like to taste death. Didn't he taste death for every man? Didn't he die for the sins of the world? His death was not like your death or mine will be, because the Lord Jesus Christ died bearing the sins of many. On him was laid our iniquities. And in that laying on of the iniquity of our sin, the Lord, the Father, punished him. And his punishment was great. And his agony was tremendous. And the Lord Jesus Christ died agonizingly upon the cross, suffering shame, suffering the scoffing rude of the soldiers and the sinners around him, bearing shame and scoffing rude. In my place condemned he stood. That substitution, Jesus Christ was there in my place, not his own, dying for me. Can you say he was there in your place? Do you see your sin being laid upon him? Do you see all the blasphemy and the wicked words, the unbelief, the sin of your life being heaped upon and laid upon the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, can you not see him there in your room instead? Can you not see him suffering for you, the ungodly person, the just one for the unjust? Thank God he willingly bore that burden so that the likes of you and I might be gloriously saved. As I've said, the Lord Jesus Christ traversed this pathway. He died that we might be forgiven, that we might go at last to heaven, saved by his precious blood. You know, death separates friends here on earth, but nothing can separate us from Christ. We know how painful the experience is when a loved one passes away, and we're left behind to mourn their passing. And how people say time is a healer, but the nearest and dearest that pass on from you, you still remember them, no matter how much time passes by or how much water goes under the bridge. You still remember your loved ones. However, death cannot even separate us from Christ. There's a lovely passage of Scripture in Romans chapter 8, and we commence at verse 36, and it reads like this: "For thy sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." What a great blessing to have that assurance in our souls. What a passage. I commend it to you who fear death. I commend it to you who have lost loved ones in recent times. I commend it to you who are troubled about these things. You can read it for yourself. Ask the Lord to help you to understand it, and pray that these words may become a reality, and you'll believe them, every single part of it. One of the blessings of heaven is to be reunited with your family and friends. Is to be reunited with friends of old and friends of family as well. If you were to visit your own local graveyard where your family is buried, and you read the headstones, doesn't it bring back memories of loved ones? You visit other cemeteries where great men of God have been buried. You read their headstone. And then you read of the headstones of the Bible and of the death of God's great warriors. And you think to yourself, my family, my friends of long ago, and those dear warriors and saints of God in Old Testament times and New Testament times. What a fellowship it will be, and what a joy to be united with them for all eternity. That's heaven. That's home. My friend, may God give you a longing for it, a desire to be there. When all are united together in heaven itself, see Abraham and David and the Apostle Paul, John Knox, John Calvin, D.L. Moody, C.H. Spurgeon, and all those whom we have known here on earth who have died in Christ. What a joy to look forward to a reunion again. You know, when you're young, perhaps these things don't make such an impact upon you. But when friends die in the Lord, then I trust that your interest in these things will increase. But what a blessing to consider seeing the Lord best of all. We have thought about seeing all these other people, and that will be a wonderful blessing. But the greatest of all will be the blessing of seeing the Lord Jesus Christ Himself, our blessed Redeemer. As He stands among His blessed redeemed, as we join together to sing the song of the redeemed in glory, the victory song, what a blessing to look upon the face of the Lord's anointed and of the one who was wounded for our transgressions, who was bruised for our iniquities, and who bore the stripes that we should have borne. Thank God for our blessed Savior. And I wonder, are you looking forward to seeing Him on that day? Those who fear death should remember that God gives grace to help in time of need. He gives grace to help at every time, even in suffering, even when we're going through trials, even when we're experiencing something of great pain. Remember, there's grace to help in time of need. Always grace for the child of God. The Lord Jesus never leaves His people, but He watches over them every step, and He keeps them every step, and He will do until the river rolls its waters at their feet, and then He'll bear them safely over where the loved ones they shall meet. That's Christ. That's how good our Lord is. We don't deserve the half, or even a fraction. Is there anything that you can do to prepare for this event? Is there anything you can do? The best preparation of all, dear friend, is to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. That's the only preparation you need. You don't need to start repairing your life. You don't need to start dressing yourself up, spiritually speaking. My dear friend, just come as a guilty sinner, as you are, and ask the Lord Jesus Christ to accept you as a sinner, and by faith accept Him as your Savior. And my friend, that is the opening of the door. And on that hinge, the door of heaven swings wide open to let you in. Thank God to as many as received Him. He has given the power, the right, or the authority to become the sons or children of God, even to as many as believe on His name. Will you believe tonight? Will you receive Him? And child of God, it might be useful for each of us to prepare daily for this event, because we don't even know what a day might bring forth. Yes, we have already taken Christ as our Savior, but the old world can get a grip on us. We can become taken up with the passing and the fleeting things of time. And isn't it good to be always watching and always preparing for the child of God, lest that event should come unawares? We should live loosely to this old world, and we should live every day as if it were our last day on earth. Let's keep an eye on the heavens. Let us watch for His coming. Let us watch and wait, looking above, expecting our Lord. Paul reminds us that here, for the child of God, we have no continuing city. And he goes on to mention and to illustrate from Abraham's life how Abraham looked for a city which had foundations, whose builder and maker is God. With this story I close. The great preacher C.H. Spurgeon tells of a king who had a court jester to keep him amused and to help him throughout his arduous business of the realm over which he ruled. One day the jester so amused the king that he presented him with a rod that he was to keep, a special rod. But he also told the jester that if he ever met anybody who was a greater fool than himself, then he was to pass that rod on to that person. The king one day became ill, and he called for the jester. And the jester came in, and the king told him, he said, "I'm dying, and I'm going on a long journey." The jester asked the king if he had made preparation for the journey, and if he had a palace at the end of that journey. To which the king said, "Sadly, I have made neither preparation, nor do I have a palace at the end of the journey." The jester, looking at the king, solemnly returned the rod to the king, and said to the king, "You are a greater fool than I. Going on a journey you have made no preparation for, and there is no palace at the end. Here's the rod." My dear friend, isn't it extremely foolish? And no one will find a greater fool who doesn't make preparation for eternity, who doesn't make preparation for the journey of death, and who hasn't got a palace at the end of that journey. I'm glad I can sing, "I'm going home to glory." I'm glad there's a palace in the sky. It's God's mansion, prepared for me And when I go on that journey, I will end in that pass. Tell me, where will you end? What will your eternity be? If tonight you take Christ as Savior, if you call upon Him and trust Him, then heaven will be your home, and for all of God's eternity, you will enjoy the bliss of the golden streets. Oh, may God give you grace to come to Him and trust Him tonight. Let's bow in a wee word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask that Thou would bless Thy word to us tonight. And Lord, we especially remember the unsaved in our meeting. And we pray now as we close this service, Thy Holy Spirit will deal with their soul, bringing conviction to the heart, leading them with a yearning desire to know Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord. O God, our Father, we ask that Thou would answer prayer and save precious souls. We ask it in Jesus' name and for Jesus' sake. Amen.